Yes. Now he's got to go over and preach at junior church. Amen. So, thank you, brother.
Amen.
Run, run, run. Amen. Since the day of in the Garden of Eden, when Eve took of the fruit of the tree of and ate, and then she gave it to her husband and he ate, it has been a mournful day of all God's creation since that day. Since that day, mankind has not been immune to sickness and heartaches and sorrows and troubles. Since that day, there have been grief and affliction and wretchedness and anguish and death. And the reason for all of that is one thing, and that was the cost of sin. Sin brings troubles and sorrows. It brings devastation and pain. Sin, destiny brings mankind to bewilderment and lost. And my friend, that was not God's plan when he began when he created the heavens and the earth. God's plan was that man would live in harmony and peace. He'd be created to be a blessing to God, that God had wanted fellowship with him. Lifespan would be endless, and he made a job for him to keep his muscles in tone. He gave him a garden to till, and he was to have superior over all the animal kingdom, and he was to glorify the Creator God and bless his holy name. But we find in the scriptures that man violated a very simple command, and the command was, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if thou eatest the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Years ago, we had a little lady in our church. Her name was Elsa. And we had a birthday party for her, 97th birthday party. And she moved into the Cambridge Court, and I was preaching at that rest home up there. And when I came up there one day, I said, what is the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? And Elsa said, I'm going to go over and whack Eve. And kind of interesting, 98-year-old lady, she said, that's the first thing she's going to do to heaven is whack Eve. She said, she's given me a lot of trouble in this life. Amen. It is amazing how these things transpire. It's amazing how little things just really go into great things and big things. This is when sorrow began in our world. Because of their free will that God had given mankind they had a choice. They disobeyed God, and life for mankind became never-ending, out-of-control spiral going heading down to hell. That turned everything of God's plan and really turned it upside down. At the start of sin, God had to remove man from the precious Garden of Eden. Heartaches began to touch the mortal, and the blood of mankind began to flow on earth's soil. Adam and Eve's oldest son, Cain, murdered his brother Abel. And we all know that it's still going on even today. Judges chapter 5 and verse 7 says, yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived on this earth, he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, vanity, vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Then he writes verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Then he goes to chapter 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. Verse 15. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. Verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 19. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labors wherein I have labored. and wherein I have showed myself wise unto the Son, this is also vanity. He says, you know, when I die, somebody else is going to take all this over. Whether he's wise or simple, still going to take it over. He said, and it really frustrated him. Verse 21. There is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in quickity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and great evil. I was sitting out in the car years ago with Dr. Jack Hiles, and I'd driven him to the service. He's going to speak here for us. And he said, Brother Shear, he said, you know what bothers me? He said, I worked so hard. I've done everything I could to build up that First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. And he says, you know, some guy's going to come in there, didn't work a finger, didn't do a thing, and he's going to take that thing over. And he said, boy, I hope he keeps it straight. See, this is actually what Solomon has said. You know, I've worked so hard. I've tried to do these, tried to do that, tried to be faithful, tried to get my wisdom so I could lead people. Now, he said, one of these days, he said, all this wisdom and knowledge, iniquity, yet the man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it to. And then verse 23 says, for all his days are sorrows and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. He says, you worry about it all night, but it isn't going to help you a bit. So you just better be faithful, amen. Have you ever noticed that there has not been, nor will ever be, invented a immunization shot to ward off troubled hearts? All of us have trouble. All of us have sorrow. I thought this week, man, we have a tremendous week at camp, just having a great time, and all of a sudden, boom, I hear about Brother Barry. Then I hear about my dear friend, Brother Stan Martin, and I just say, boy, trouble, trouble, trouble. Everybody's having trouble. Here's the difference, okay? The difference is I have Jesus in my heart. First thing I thought about Brother Barrett going when he passed away, I didn't think about death. I thought about living. I thought, man, oh man, brother, he's up in heaven rejoicing with the Lord God, his Savior. Ma, he is, you know, but trouble is, you know, we're left here behind. We were working in the kitchen. I was making, doing some stuff. I couldn't even hardly stand it. My tears were running down my eyes so bad just thinking of the specialness of that man. But he didn't have no worries anymore. He didn't have no heartaches, no sorrows. No, he didn't have any more physical pain in heaven. He is, the Bible said, when we die, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord, amen. And the troubles and sorrows we leave here. We don't take them with us, amen. Thank God there's no U-Haul trailers behind those hearses, amen. I used to say that a lot until one guy, a friend of mine, said, hey, he said, you know, we were traveling through North Dakota, and guess what I saw? I used to use that all the time. There's no U-Hauls behind hearses. Guess what he saw? A U-Haul behind a hearse. Well, good luck. I still tell you, you ain't going to take it with you, amen. So there's no immunization shot. I remember when I was a little boy and polio was so bad, and they came out with a polio vaccine. Boy, I'll tell you, that stopped a lot of that. Praise God, it stopped a lot of it. The whooping cough vaccines and the smallpox vaccine, most of us old timers, we got this little thing on our arm or someplace, you know, some of them have in their leg where you picked about 400 pinholes in your leg and give you the smallpox vaccine, amen. But you know what? I found out in these 70 years I've lived that there's no immunization of a broken heart. There's no immunization of the problems that we come to us. You see, the fiery darts of the wicked continue are fired at those who believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Seems as if there's no rest for the soul anymore. We watched the TV yesterday and the craziness going on down in Virginia. Boy, it just breaks your heart. You know, good night. I heard a man, he spoke yesterday, he says, you know what, if you believe the Bible, you find out that all men are created equal. And God blesses all of us, and we want to be very careful about that. That is why we are called the soldiers of Christ. Look at these men of faith who, in the Bible, went through the fire to please the Almighty God and show their faith on earth. Abel offered God the right sacrifice, but he struck down because of the hatred of his brother. Enoch, the preacher of righteousness, preached and lived righteously during some of the really trying times when men did that what was right in their own eyes and their own heart. The scripture says, the Lord said in chapter 6 there of Genesis, he says that he repented and he made mankind because of their evilness. That was the time of Enoch. Don't tell me that Enoch didn't suffer. Noah, he's a preacher of righteousness, preached 120 years with no converts. Can you imagine preaching after preaching after preaching and have nobody come forward or nobody trusting Jesus Christ, the personal Savior? At camp last week on Wednesday, little Jaden Donahue came up and he said, "I want to get saved." Amen. I had the privilege of leading that little rascal to the Lord. Amen. Last week, Zachary got saved, and boy, praise the Lord. And a while back, Brody got saved. You know, had the privilege of leading these boys to the Lord. I can't tell you what that does to this whole preacher's heart. I pray to God that God makes them all preachers. Amen. It's an incredible thing to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. 120 years and no converts. I say that, but I'm also reminded that his wife and his three sons and their three daughter-in-laws went on that old ark. Yet he stayed faithful to God's command. He prepared that ark. I'm sure he got a lot of harassment about building an ark where it never rained. Amen. Abram left his family and his home and left and lived in a tent. Some of you people like that, amen. Not me. I was in Boy Scouts, and I tented long enough. And after this, my favorite tent is Howard Johnson's, the Radisson, and even Super 8, amen. I went camping with Debbie and Brian one time up into Canada, and the boys. And that broke me completely when one of their boys, I said, "Don't touch the top." It was raining, pouring rain at Calgary. I said, "Don't touch the top of that tent. Just leave alone, boy." And he said, "Right above my sleeping bag. I know what Chinese water torture is." Amen. But he lived in a tent with his wife and his family. He left his native home by faith. He went with God. He did what he was looking, seeking for a city. And the city he found was heaven. Amen. Joseph, pushed around by his brothers and sold into slavery and became the servant of Potiphar and lived righteously. And one day his Potiphar's wife accused him of immoral practices with her, but he lived preciously, he lived righteously, and they threw him in prison, and there he lay about in prison waiting and not knowing. The Bible says in the Psalms that his feet were hurt by the fetters. I don't understand that. Some people believe that Joseph had a terrible limp. But in prison, someone said, "We had a dream," and he told the dream. And God blessed him upon him. Amazing how God used him. But he told the one guy, the cupbearer, he said, "Hey, listen, don't forget me. Don't forget me." In 2 years, he forgot him. He forgot him, yet Joseph stayed. Do you think Joseph went through pain? You think Joseph had troubles and heartaches? Do you think that his father, who thought he was dead, brokenhearted, oh, the anguish that he had? Hey, you know what? Everybody lives in this world not immune to trouble. The difference between the people of this world and you who have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is you know that God uses this tempting and these trials for a purpose to raise us up to be able to help others to minister. I'll guarantee you the troubles and heartache that Jill went through, I'll guarantee you, you minister to more ladies than you ever do without you going through that trouble. I know Marcia's had some difficult time because of that car accident. And I'll guarantee you she has more opportunities to minister than ever before. I remember when my father-in-law, 59 years old, died in my arms. Best friend I ever had in my life. But I've had that opportunity to minister to people. Tell them that life can still be okay because we have Jesus in our heart. Amen. Thank God for heaven. If you ever get a letter from me now, it always on the bottom says, sincerely, Dr. S.C. Shearer, pastor. In the bottom it says, thank God for heaven. 6 years ago, devastating thing happens to my dear wife. Changed me completely. But I tell you what, it's amazing people that I minister to. It's amazing people I minister to that they'll actually listen to you. Troubles come in our hearts and lives. We should never make them a stumbling block. We ought to make them a stepping stone. Moses wanted to serve God and protect God's people, but his actions of killing that Egyptian certainly didn't work out as he thought it was. And he had to go on the backside of the desert 40 years. You know what? There's the desert, and then there's the backside of the desert. That's a long ways from the front side of the desert, amen. He went on the backside of the desert 40 years. Sometimes we say, well, good night, I'm wasting my time. I'm just spinning my tires. I just don't know what I'm doing. It seems like I'm down in this hole. I'm down in this well, and I can't get out. You know what? Relax. It didn't surprise God where you're at. It didn't surprise God the hurts that you're having right now. It doesn't surprise God the troubles you're in. He knows. He said all things work together for good. He didn't say everything. He said all things. He said it's kind of like an old preacher explained like this. You ever take a clock apart and you see all those gears going together? He said that's all things tell a good time. And in our lives, with the troubles that will come, some things are just, whoa, we just shake our head and say, look at Job, all the troubles he went through. Moses, 40 years in the wilderness. Then he comes back and God's people follow him, yet they constantly turn on him. And they're unwilling to follow God's leader. David, he was pressed by the beast, the bear and the lion. He's mocked by his brothers when he came and cried out and said, is there not a cause, when Goliath was yelling out obscenities about the Lord God? He took a sling and killed the great giant Goliath. Came into the home of the king, married Michael. Then his father-in-law chased him. And chased him and chased him and chased him. Then he's dethroned by his own son, cursed by Shimei. And by the way, David's life was not a life of ease. Or on the silk cloud. Nor in a cool breeze. David's life was full of testing and trials. Just like your life and my life is. Look at the life of Job. He lost his wealth. He lost his servants. He lost his children. He lost his wife's respect. He lost his health. He lost his friends. Yet God, in the providence of God, God gave him back double. Daniel, taken away from his parents, taken into another country. He was made a eunuch. They put him in jail. And when he's an old man, he became great. He was continually great in that kingdom of Babylon. And King Darius said he's the smartest of all of them. And they put three presidents and I forget how many princes they put. And he wanted Daniel to be the first. And the jealousy, the hatred of these others. Try to find a way that they could get rid of this old man. And they thought a plot. And they said, King Darius, you are the greatest of all kings. And for 1 month, nobody can pray to anyone except you. You are the God. And the Bible said Daniel went home as in like manner and got on his knees with his face toward Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day. And he's up, there he is, there he is. And Darius was very moved, very upset, but had to do it. They said, throw him in the lion's den. They threw him in the lion's den. The Bible said old Darius didn't sleep all night. And he got up early and came to the lion's den. Oh, Daniel, is your God? Did he keep you from evil? And Daniel yells up, oh, King, live forever. And they said, they pulled him out of there. And then, you remember the rest of the story, what happened to the man and their families, what they did. We read the greatest missionary times. The guy's name was Apostle Paul. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he was whipped 5 times. He was stoned 1 time, beaten 3 times, shipwrecked 3 times, night and day in the ocean, hated by his countrymen, hated by the heathens, hungry, cold, naked. Think he had trouble? Oh, that's a good story. No, that's the truth. It's an account of the Word of God. And then let's look at the ultimate of all. His name is Jesus Christ. The perfect man. The God that never sins nor ever will sin. Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, he never even thought evil. But he suffered all things. He was hated, but he never hated. He was used, but he never used. He was mistreated, but he never mistreated. He was abused, but he never abused. He was laughed at, lied to, manipulated, fought, sneered. They complained, but he never complained. He was reviled, but he never reviled back. He was scorned and forsook. All his disciples left him. He healed, but he was misunderstood. They blamed him, but Jesus Christ suffered everything. No one ever can say that he did not love you. Yet the fiery darts were flying right and left. Yet through it all these great men of God and the God-man had something common. Number one, they realized that God was in control. You're going to have some trouble in your life. You tell Brother Martin, God's in control. And he'll say, I know it. You tell Rhoda that God will sustain you. When I'm talking to her on Friday morning, she says, I don't know what I'm going to do now. You see, preachers' wives are wrapped up in the pastor's life. And that's all they know. Pray for her. These men knew that God would answer them. It may be God will answer them and take you home to heaven. What's the problem with that? Amen? No more heartaches, no more troubles, no more taxes. Well, glory. No more dishes. No more dirty clothes. Whew! No more taking to and picking up football practice. On and on we go. I want to read you something that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6:10. It has been a great blessing to this old preacher. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God never forgets that. Here's another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Yep, this is the one we read when we started the service today. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. I'm perplexed a lot. How many are perplexed? He just perplexed. He just like, what was that all about? You know, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, the troubles we go through and the tempting and trials we go through, hey, you know what it's doing? It's manifest in our body. It's manifest in Lord Jesus Christ's life. We can love through this thing. We can praise God through this. We can, you know, you see something in your life and you say, dear God, why'd you do that? Why'd you take that? And God puts His arm around you and says, you may have to wait to heaven, I'll tell you. But right now, you just trust me. I was telling that sermon, Brother Rudy Smith's wife, funeral, Mary. And he got up and sang the most amazing song. Why should I doubt Him now? Why should I doubt Him now? All the things that God has taken care of us and taken us through all these years. Hey, why should I doubt Him when this happens in my life? This ought to strengthen me. This ought to make me more realize that God loves me and He cares for me. He just doesn't leave you alone. He's there. He's there. And you can call upon Him any time of the day and night. Yesterday I called upon Him and I said, dear God, and I was praying some things to Him and just felt like He just kind of nudged me a little bit and said, hey, I got you. I got you. Christians are constantly complaining. And Christians are constantly saying, it's not fair. Why in the world do you think that we can take the easy street of life when the Bible says we are soldiers of Jesus Christ? We're in a battle. Who do we think we are to complain and say, this is not fair? Some of you have children, or some of you had children, and one little kid gets something, the other one doesn't, and all of a sudden what do they say? It's not fair. Yeah. Yeah. A song I love. Tempted and tried, we're off, made to wonder. Why it should be thus all these days long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Sometimes I wonder why I must suffer. Go in the rain, cold in the snow, when there are many living in comfort, giving no heed to all I can do. Tempted and tried, often we question why we must suffer year after year. Being accused by those of our loved ones, even though we've walked in God's holy fear. Often when death has taken our loved ones, leaving our home so lone and so drear. You listen to me, widows? Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Faithful to death, saith our loving Master, short is our time to labor and wait. Then will our toiling seem to be nothing when we shall pass the heavenly gate. Soon we shall see our dear loving Savior, hear the last trumpet sound through the sky. Then we will meet those gone on before us. Then we shall know and understand why. Farther along we'll know more about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. The Apostle Paul said, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is revealed day by day. He again said, our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Then he said over 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And then Job wrote this magnificent and stunning words. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. My mother lay dying. She was 66 years old. She had bone cancer. One night she rolled over and broke her collarbone. It just snapped. She was feeble. And she cried out, oh Lord, aren't I gold yet? Aren't I gold yet? You know, there's a lot of things happen in our lives. I was talking to a dear, sweet friend of mine yesterday on the phone. And she's telling me things. And then she said, I probably shouldn't be telling you all that. And I said, no, I want to listen to you. I love you. She called me honey. And reminded, that's what my mama used to call me. I know you can't believe that I was a honey. But I was a honey to my mama. I so spoiled I smelt. We were talking about some things in life. And I said to her, I says, I'm just finishing this sermon. I'm just thinking of some of these things. You bless my heart for calling. Yeah, we got trouble. We got sorrow. There's not enough money in the bank. There's not enough food in the cabinet. Not enough milk in the refrigerator. There's always something going on. You got to go do something. There's not enough dog food. Not enough cat food. There's not enough, oh my goodness, you name it. Tanks on empty. Tires, I need new tires. There's always things that are going on in your life. Why don't you just praise the Lord and thank Him that you can understand some of that stuff? I talked to a friend of mine, his wife has Alzheimer's. He said, preacher, some of the terrible things she says. He's a pastor. He said, I can't even bring her to church anymore because she speaks so filthy. I don't know what to do with her. He said, what's the answer? I don't have it. You got the answer? You can make millions of dollars. You write out a little answer. Tell me what you do. Tell me how we get through these things in life. I'll tell you how you do it. Every day you get in this Bible right here. Every day. You get in this old book. And you find something that will get you through one more day. Every time you feel overwhelmed, you fall on your knees and say, oh God. I told the Lord the other day, Lord, I don't know what to do. Good night, I'm 70 years old. I don't know what to do. I've been through down a lot of paths. I've been through over a lot of mountains. I've been down a lot of valleys. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it sometimes. That's why we have sweet Jesus. And we hold Him close to our heart. Say, dear Jesus, I don't know what to do, and you do. I'm just going to keep one more step at a time. I'll just take one more step, Lord, and I'll trust in this. And I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust in this. And I'm not going to complain to you, and I'm not going to gripe to you. I want to be like Job, who said he didn't charge God foolishly, you know, with his lips. He never charged God foolishly. I hope to God that you will not charge God foolishly. You'll trust Him. The things that break down, the things that heartaches come with, they're opportunities for you to help others. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Lord, though we are tempted and tried, Lord, the troubles have started right at the beginning of the time. And a continual tumble and tumble and tumble. It seems like this world is just going haywire. But Lord God, we know that You are still on the throne. That all things work together for good. That them that love God, that them according to His purpose. We know that You know what's going on. And we're going to trust in this. Lord, there may be someone here today that do not understand any of this. It's because they have never came to the point in their life that they said, dear God, I am a sinner. I need salvation. I need you to save me, Lord God. And Lord God, you said once you save us, the Holy Spirit comes within us and teaches us all these things. Lord, help us to trust in you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And we will be saying, dear God, it is good to serve you. Father, speak to our hearts today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've thought about it. I see it. I hear about it. But there's not been a time in my life that I have bowed my head to a holy God and say, God, I am a sinner. And I need a Savior, a great Savior. You know, right today, you can accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, right there in that seat where you're sitting, right here, right now. You can cry out to God and say, dear God, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins and come into my heart. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now. I'm going to ask you a couple questions today. You say, here, well, what's the question? The question is this. Are you here today and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? I mean to tell you, there's a time and a place that you accepted Jesus Christ. He said, I was at camp. I was at vacation Bible school. I was at my house. I was by my bed. I remember that day that I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins, come into my heart. And according to God's Word, I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you know that today, would you lift your hand? Boy, you ought to praise God about that. Amen. That you know Jesus is your Savior. All right, you may put your hands down. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure about that. You know, I wonder about it. I've heard people talking about being born again. I've heard people talking about being born from above. I've heard people getting saved. That's kind of foreign to me. I'm not really sure about that. Well, here's the deal, all right? God said, because of our sins, we owe a terrible price. That price is death and hell. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You're looking at one that's none righteous. I am not righteous. There's a time in my life that God saved me. And he came into my heart and saved me. But I'll tell you what, I'm a sinner. But God saves us. And you're here today and say, preacher, today, I want to ask Jesus Christ to become my Savior. Right there where you're sitting, why don't you bow your head and say, dear God, just pray it. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Save me right here, right now, at this spot. If you did that today, would you lift your hand and say, preacher, today, I pray that God bless you, someone else today. Say, you know what? I've invited Jesus to be my Savior. In a moment, I'm going to give an invitation. And you haven't done that, or you're not sure how to do it, we have trained people here to show you. If you're a woman, we'll have a lady show you from the Word of God. If you're a man or a boy, we'll have a man to show you from the Word of God. We'll show you how you can get saved, how you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Let's all stand. Everyone stand. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I certainly want to know that. Why don't you come right now and meet me up front here. Sorry about that noise. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You know, one of these days, you're going to die. You aren't going to get out of this world without doing that. You're going to die. What about that? Where are you going? You say, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, pretty much God says you're going to hell. If you haven't accepted Christ as personal Savior, you're not going to heaven. The Bible said it's appointed on a man wants to die and then the judgment. Are you here today? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Let me show you from the Word of God. Come right now. Quickly come. You're today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come? That's down in the water and up out of the water. You're here today. And you want to become a member of this church. You want to serve God. Why don't you come to this time? You know, God loves you so much. He gives you every opportunity in the world to trust Him as a Savior. You know, sometimes there's a point of saying, that's it. Okay, you don't want it. Okay. Well, I hope to God you never miss that. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. We thank you for the opportunity we can serve you. Lord, I pray that anyone here today is not sure to save, they'd come and get one of our men of our church or me and say, hey, I need to take care of that. Lord, speak to our hearts. And then, Lord God, for those who are in trouble and heartache, seem like they're out in the wilderness with all the problems and the heartaches this old world's given us. Lord God, I pray we would put our trust in you. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus, we don't trust in you. Lord, there's things going on in our lives that we don't know which way to turn, but we know one thing. You make no mistakes. And no need to doubt you now. And we praise you, Lord, for that. Lord, now bless us as we go to our separate homes and bring us back tonight. And all God's people said,
amen.
You're dismissed.